Demaryius Thomas, Jordan Norwood inside of him in the slot. The running back, Hillman. Shotgun, Manning, second down at 11. Back to pass, in the pocket, looks. He got hit, he throws underneath, and it is picked off! They pick it off! Down the sideline, running with the ball, 10-5, touchdown! It's Gansby! And the Browns lead!
What a job of tightroping down the sideline.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only Jim Donovan. Jim, 22 hours removed from a disappointing finish there for the Cleveland Browns, obviously against the Broncos. What are your thoughts on yesterday?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. My thoughts were when Carlos Dansby took that into the end zone. That place was absolutely jumping up and down and going wild. And
yes,
so it was nirvana, I thought, at that point. And likewise, when Mingo had the interception in overtime, a really, really frustrating day at the end of it, because it just seemed as though there were two or three opportunities to take the game and win the game. The last one being, of course, in overtime, when you get an interception like that and a turnover on their side of the field at the 39-yard line, I mean, you just start making preparations to win the game. You just go in and you win the game, either by touchdown or by field goal. You go and you win it, and then you have three negative plays after that, and very, very frustrating. I mean, it's a big one that got away.
It definitely is, Jim. And as I kind of made the take earlier in our show, if you're a fan of football, you see other teams make that play,
yeah. And
then the offense or defense, whatever the other side of the ball is, makes another play to put it away and seal that victory for that individual team. Is that to you what's missing? Like, we make one play, but we can't make the next one, which in some cases would have shored up a victory for us.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. Not just yesterday, but through the years, Matt.
Right,
really,
that's
been the ingredient that is missing, is that there's that knockout punch, that ability for the other part of the team or another player on the team to say, okay, here we go. This is how you win it. Watch this. And then you do it the next week, and maybe it's another guy along with him. But that's been missing, and you hear it through so many different players' voices in losing post-game situations in locker rooms when you're saying, hey, listen, you know, we just don't finish. We don't know how to close a game out. And I think that somehow that lesson has not been taught or it hasn't been absorbed. I'm sure coaches try and teach it. I think it's one of those things that has to be done, and it has to be done repetitively to experience it, and then it becomes a good habit. But it definitely is the thing that's missing.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, you and I talked about it on the radio yesterday, and after hearing from Coach and talking to the players, any insight that you have, and ultimately your thoughts on the decision to go for two versus kicking the extra point?
Well, there were three things that I've thought it over, Nathan.
I've used
22 hours to kind of sleep on it. There were three things that bothered me about it. Number one, I thought it was early to chase points. I think, you know, there were like 8 minutes left to go in the game.
Right.
Okay, number two, I thought that there was a point. Now, remember, they reviewed it to see whether or not Dansby had stepped out of bounds. So even then, the Browns had time to get themselves together. From what I saw up in the booth, even when they finally got themselves set and it was designated and ruled that it was a touchdown, we are still going for two. The Browns still didn't have the people in the huddle that they wanted at the time, which told me that they really weren't ready still to run the play that they obviously wanted to run. McCown stepped out of a huddle, yelled over to the sideline, and I believe they were looking for a tight end. And they sent a receiver out, and the next thing, they're really looking for the tight end who came off way back on the other side of the bench.
Yep.
Now, that to me is a little bit of a problem. Then the third thing is, I mean, once it goes to the one-yard line, to have to just still not have the confidence to be able to bang that in, but to have to roll out and roll the pocket to the right and kind of be looking for option one, two, and three, just seems to me that if you really have to run that kind of play, then you kick it. Those are the three things that bothered me about it.
I agree with that, Jim. And you talked about us and our ability to bang it in there from the 1 yard line. Well, Our defensive front yesterday was getting banged in the mouth time and time again by the Denver Broncos with one of the worst offensive line in the National Football League, averaging 71 yards a game. Just your overall takeaways on our inability to stop C.J. Hillman or C.J. Anderson and Hillman as well on the ground attack.
Yeah, well, they're like one and the same, so it's easy to put their names
Thank
together.
You.
They look alike, and you know, they really they're built the same way. You know, I thought going into the game there was a situation for both teams. Number one, Denver has been missing the running game, and I'm sure they said, "Hey, listen, if we can't run the ball on these guys, then we really do have a big problem with our running game." Number two, for the Browns side, you take a look at it and say, "Hey, listen, if we can't stop these guys and their running game, those running backs with that offensive line in front of it, then we really have a problem stopping the run." I come out of the day saying, we really have a problem stopping the run. And it's just not there. And I don't, you know, it's disappointing because I know there was a lot of money and a lot of draft selection and a lot of free agency and tweaking, you know, what they wanted to do up front solely with the thought in mind that we would stop the run. And so far, six games in, I just don't see it.
Certainly don't. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, you've been around the game for a long time. You've seen Peyton Manning for a long time. What did you think of his performance and just where he is physically at this stage in his career?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say he's like the movie Babe Ruth, where the Babe is, you know, with the Boston Braves at the end of his career. And he's just, a character, you know, just an attraction to come and see. He's certainly not there. But I tell you what, Nathan, anytime he gets any kind of pressure on him in the pocket, and not that the Browns had any sacks, but any kind of pressure in there, you know, he just really kind of stumbles and jerks himself around and then just kind of stands up and then, you know, just kind of pops the ball up there. I mean, those interceptions over the middle where it's just like floating balls over the middle that both guys almost really, you know, mistimed their jumps and still got them because they were floaters.
They both jumped early. It took a long time for those balls to get there.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it was almost like an infield fly rule in baseball. On the other side, though, I mean, I just think he still has that capacity to lead, and as bad a day as he was having. And, I mean, he was having a bad day with three picks, and one of them being a pick six, and many other misses. And on the other end, having some drops, you know, from receivers, he still has the ability to put his nose to the grindstone and just will them to win the game. And he's still thinking. I mean, he sees that the Browns have too many guys on the field. He quick snaps it. So, I mean, there's no question his physical skills are not what they are. Not by a long shot. Not what they were, rather. Not by a long shot. But the ability to still think the position and lead and have those guys come out after the game and say, hey, listen, it might not have been pretty statistically by him, but we believe in him, and we're 6-0, and he's a big reason why, although it looks like defensively that's a big reason why they're there like that. You know, he still has enough to win, and I admire that about him.
Jim, Josh McCown, we came away from the Baltimore Ravens game talking about, you know, just overall the leadership and his execution as a quarterback. Ran into the number one defense yesterday. Just your overall take on Josh McCown yesterday, and is he still the guy that we feel can win us football games when close?
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, that throw right at the end of regulation time really troubled me. It was like a throw, and I know way back in the summer in the preseason where he put the ball in peril a couple of times in the game against Buffalo, and that was a good defense, you know, at that time anyway. We thought it was a really good defense. And it just seems as though sometimes when you have a guy that realizes he's got a great arm, and I think Josh does, sometimes, you know, they rely on the arm so much that it really betrays them in the end. So his decision to give the ball back to Denver and put that ball, and it was intercepted by Bruton, you know, with about 40 seconds or so, 30 seconds left in regulation time. I mean, that was just that's a mortal sin as far as a quarterback is concerned. But there are other things that he does. I mean, you know, he can get on a little bit of a roll. Certainly, you know, he did that in the second half. It was not there in the first half. And I don't know, Nathan, you can probably better describe it. I don't know if it was the wind down there, but he was not accurate early in the game and at other points in the game. But then he found his groove, I thought, in the second half, And I think, you know, he's okay at that point. But I do believe he's one of these, you know, gunslingers with big arms that really think that their arm power and strength can get them through anything. And sometimes it really comes back, and it's the biggest thing that really faults them.
You are correct about that, and that those are the times you get yourself into trouble when you trust the old rifle just a little bit too much. Talking about trusting somebody, Travis Kuhns, it turns out in the postgame, they didn't want to kick him unless they got down to the 30-yard line. I mean, we've seen him make an extra point longer than that easily against the Jets. Were you surprised that they had such a restriction on him there?
Yeah, I really do. And I know that it's been mentioned in the last couple of weeks, you know, when Chris Tabor meets with the media on Thursday, like all the coordinators do, and people ask him about, are you confident with him in game-winning situations? And he says, well, yeah, I mean, but we don't have a lot of data on that because we haven't had him in that other than the Baltimore game, which was pretty close, you know, when he kicked that one. I think it was 32. But, yeah, I am surprised because I think he's got a great leg. And yes. I think he's got the perfect, you know, makeup personality-wise to just go in there. I mean, he is stone cold as far as going in there and not really showing an awful lot of emotion. He's mechanical, which I think is a good thing for him. Yeah, I am surprised at that. And that's why I just really thought they were in the driver's seat when Mingo got that ball and intercepted, and they started at the 39, that they were three plays away maybe from lining Kuhns up and giving him a shot to be, you know, a big-time hero again.
And when you come out of this game, so now you look at the last three games, the Browns have ended on a field goal twice in a losing fashion, and once, of course, the game winner in overtime against Baltimore. Where does this team go from here, going to St. Louis against a very good defensive front and against a great running back in Todd Gurley, who's already looks phenomenal?
Yeah.
Where do they go from here to get ready to right the ship against a team that seems to play right into the things that the Browns are struggling the most at right now?
Well, you know, Nathan, it just seems as though the Browns are, you know, the whole year has been like on a teeter-totter, and you're right on the top of the line right now, and you don't know which way that teeter-totter is going to go. Are we going to go and go 2-5 and this thing starts spinning in the wrong direction? Or do you go in, and I wouldn't put it by them, you go in and you come up with a Baltimore kind of effort and you sneak a win out of there on the road and you play better than you did certainly in the game against Denver, and you come out and you do things just a little bit better. The thing is that the Browns seem to, even when they win, they play in spurts. They don't play a complete game. They have a bad spurt like they did yesterday in the first half, but then they came out in the second half and they really put together a good spurt, and suddenly they got things rolling, but then it goes back into a lull again, and you're only hoping that they can regenerate it one more time to win the game. So I think what you do is you look for somehow to make those spurts longer and more complete and try and get a complete game, because it looks like typically that's what it would take to beat a team like this on Sunday. But the season is kind of swinging both ways. If they had lost in Baltimore, well, I think, you know, it would have swung in a negative way,
sure,
way down. And I think we're at that critical point once again, I think.
We certainly are, Jim. Appreciate the time as always. And, you know, another kind of a rough Monday. This one was so close. This one really just felt like it slipped away from the Browns at the end.
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I have to tell you, there were three times that I really felt like it was going to be an incredible Sunday afternoon and I really think that place would have been, just the sight of pandemonium had they been able to pull it off.
I might not be allowed in home stadiums anymore. I was in the big house in Ann Arbor on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
And then on the sideline for the Browns yesterday.
Wow. What a daily double.
Oh, man. The I've never seen it. I don't think we ever will see anything like we saw in Ann Arbor ever again.
I agree with you about that. That was, I'm telling you what, that was just mind-numbing what happened there.
It certainly was. And I think we're going to see a new formation in situations like that where instead of having a gunner on the outside uncovered, you just have somebody back at your own 20-yard line as the just-in-case-something crazy happens guy.
An extended victory formation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jim, thanks so much for the time.
Okay,
enjoy the
guys.
Rest of your day.
Thanks.
All right. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, our guest there. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850, and we'll also hear from the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Josh McCown, right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.